Well, if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn to Psalm 47 as we briefly meditate on that psalm this afternoon. Psalm 47 is a song of victory and kingship, but not the victory of any earthly king, not even the victory of David himself, but really of the Lord himself. The psalm praises the Lord as king, not just of Israel, but actually of all nations. And it predicts the submission of the nations to the Lord. The first section, verses 1 through 4, calls the nations, the people groups of the earth, to praise and worship the Lord as he subdues all of his enemies and all of his people's enemies. And the second section, it's a short psalm, the second section, which is verses 5 through 9, so verses 5 through 9 call for praise and worship because the Lord reigns over the nations. Predicts even that the rulers of the nations will one day be those who worship the Lord. Gentiles who have become one with the people of the God of Abraham. The caption of the psalm reads, "To the choir master, a psalm of the sons of Korah," and that tells us that it was composed with public worship in mind, to the choir master, so public worship in the temple, and that it was probably composed by Levites, the clan of Korah of the tribe of Levi. So it was composed by those Levites who served as the singers and musicians in the temple. Well, as I said, the first section, verses 1 through 4, calls the nations of the world to praise and worship the Lord, to worship Yahweh, as he subdues all of his and his people's enemies. Verse 1 says, "Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy." The word there for peoples is the Hebrew word amim. And that's a particularly interesting word that would be chosen here in Hebrew. The word amim, it's the plural of am. Am means people or a nation, a people group. And it can be applied to Israel and to other nations. So here when it says all peoples, amim, it's saying Israel, God's visible covenant people, plus all other people groups should praise the Lord, shout to God with loud songs of joy, clap their hands, praising the Lord. So this is as opposed to the Hebrew word goyim, which means nations that are foreign to Israel. But this means all nations, including Israel. So here we see already in verse 1 a connection between Israel, the visible covenant people, and other nations. All nations, including Israel, are to be praising God together. They're called to clap and shout for joy. And why? Why should they be shouting for joy? Well, the next three verses offer three reasons. Reason number one is in verse 2. "For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great king over all the earth." Notice, yes, he is to be feared. Yahweh, the Most High God, is to be feared. And certainly the nations should fear his judgment if they're not repenting. But here they're called to rejoice that he is to be feared. So this is speaking to people who are repenting and coming into a right covenant relationship with the Lord. And he is to be honored because he is the king over not just one land, but over all the earth. So that's reason number one. Reason number two that he should be praised is in verse 3. "He subdued peoples under us, the nations under our feet." God should be praised because he subdued nations under the feet of his covenant people. In the establishment of ancient Israel, in the land of Canaan, nations were conquered. In the expansion of David's kingdom, people groups were subdued. As the gospel goes forth into the world, the kingdom of Christ advances. New territories and people groups are being subdued under the kingship of Christ, not by the swords of men, but by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit. And of course, ultimately, all of Christ's enemies, as Psalm 110:1 predicts, will be subdued underneath his feet. And so we, with our union in Christ, participate in that as we bring the gospel to the nations. So that's reason number two. Reason number three that God should be praised is in verse 4. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. And then there's a Selah there that tells us that's a good breaking point in the psalm, and that it's time to stop and reflect on the fact he chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. He gave a land to Israel, and he promises that his people shall inherit the earth. There will be a new heavens and a new earth that all who are in Christ will inherit. And so we should praise God for that. The true pride of Jacob is Jesus Christ. The great heritage the Lord has given his people is Christ himself, and the guarantee of that heritage is the Holy Spirit. The nations of the world should worship Yahweh as the mighty King who sovereignly subdues all things to himself. So that's the first section of the psalm. The second section, verses 5 through 9, calls for praise and worship because the Lord reigns over the nations, predicting even that the rulers of the nations will one day be those who worship the Lord. In verse 5, we find language of a victorious king returning in triumph to Zion. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. So here's a God going up, as it were, rising up to subdue his enemies and returning to Zion, going up to Zion, as it were. Therefore, God's people are called to praise him. Verse 6, sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. Of course, the Bible only has to tell us to do something once for it to be relevant for us to do and important. But here, in one verse, we're told four times, sing praises, sing praises, sing praises, sing praises. And he is our God and our King. Why should we sing praises? Because God is not just the King over one nation. Jesus isn't just the King and head of the church. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's not just the ruler over one patch of ground. He is King over all the earth. Verses 7 and 8. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. We even see that the princes or nobles, the human leaders of the nations, have gathered. And rather than like in Psalm 2, where they conspire together to throw off, if they could, the chains of the Lord and his anointed, here we see the leaders of the peoples of the earth are gathered not in enmity to God's people, but as Israelites. They're gathering together to come and worship right alongside of the covenant people, to be joined to the covenant people. As Paul says in Galatians 3, verse 6 and verse 29, if you are in Christ by faith, you are a child of Abraham and the heir to the promises God gave to him. I believe this and other scriptures like it predict a time that we can expect sometime before the new heavens and the new earth, when the gospel has permeated the world and, in fact, the world will be dominated by it. Not that everybody in the world will be a believer, but that the gospel will predominate in the world. We have in this verse, or in these verses here, the leaders of the nations, the protectors of the earth, the shields of the earth, coming and worshiping the God of heaven, the Lord. They're joined to the sons of Abraham. And that's in the last verse, actually, of the psalm, verse 9. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. Notice it's the princes of the peoples, plural, the many people groups of the earth, the various nations, gathering as the people, singular, of the God of Abraham. So you have people from all manner of people groups, even their leaders, coming and worshiping and being part of the covenant people, the people of the God of Abraham. Indeed, such a thing is itself a praise to the Lord and should cause us to praise the Lord, for he is highly exalted. So let's go ahead and turn in our Psalters then to Psalm 47. We'll turn to selection A as in Abraham. 47a. Why don't we stand together and we will sing praise to the living God as we sing Psalm 47, selection A.